You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Tech Trend Investments. Happy Tuesday. Happy Taco Tuesday or Italian Tuesday. I think it's more Italian Tuesday today. I think I'm on this Italian kick. So I'm, again, looking at beautiful blue water and palm trees, and I'm in an Italian kick right now.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the,
hi, y'all.
The show where we, every episode, Elizabeth is in a new location, always with new blue location. Water and palm trees.
Right. And you get to hear about my food on your commute home when it's like that critical hour when everyone's tired, they just got off work, they're hungry, and I talk about food. We talk about more than food, but you know, that's how we open it up. We open it up with, guess where I am today? It's like finding, what's that cartoon that has the stripes and you have to like find him on the map? Yeah, so
that's it.
Where's Elizabeth? what part of the world am I in today? So what has turquoise colored water with white creamy sand beaches and palm trees? So another island in the Caribbean.
And if you've been to this island, you probably know which island she's talking about.
All right. Yeah, so the first 2 weeks I was in the Bahamas, and so I was at Atlantis and Paradise Island. It was beautiful. Like, that's one of my favorite places. We'll talk about it, too, because, like, when I'm in the locations, I don't like to talk where I am in the world. I'll talk to you all about it after I've left the location. But I was in Atlantis, and, like, Atlantis is a beautiful, beautiful property. They have these saw sharks. Is that what it is, right?
Saw sharks.
We were calling them. We were doing, if you watch some of our socials, you'll see some of our socials that will do, like, they call it clickbait, you know, like they're funny titles just to get people intrigued. And so we were calling them intentionally the wrong name just to, like, get a reaction to see what people would do. And, like, we got so many views on it and so many responses of, like, correcting us on what the correct name of the sea animal was. But, so I was in Atlantis, and so they have manta rays and saw sharks and turtles and fish everywhere. But they have live ponds and live ocean where you can go, you can see them. Like, you walk through these paths to the beach. The property is huge. I think, what did I say? There was like 8,000 rooms or something. It's something crazy. They have like 4 or 5 different towers. They have a full casino, of course. And then they have saw sharks that are beautiful. It's like one of my favorite things that I've filmed when I was there. And then these turtles, will come up and like swim right next to you and like pop up their head and like check you out and then like go swim again and come back again. And then I found out too that, okay, so the turtles are right next to the saw sharks in the pond, but they have a like a wall between them, right?
Yep.
But the saw sharks will like go and sleep next to the pond where the turtles are. They'll just like sleep there. They'll like kind of bury themselves in the sand and sleep there if it's raining or something. They'll bury themselves. But what people have been telling me is the turtles will reach over and tap them. They like antagonize them. So it's like kind of a funny story. So I have pictures of them like sleeping in their little sand, but the turtles like are tricksters. They'll like come over and they'll like tap the saw sharks. And then the saw sharks can't, you know, like jump over anything, but when they're like swimming underneath the bridges, they'll like stick their nose up and then the saw will get like near the bridge and they'll have to like put their nose down as they swim through or whatever it's called. What is a fish's nose called? A nose? Is it a nose?
A nose? A snout? I don't know.
Right? I took some oceanography. I didn't take it an extensive enough oceanography, unfortunately, but got too stuck in STEM and mathematics and all that other fun stuff. But they're so fun. And then you could go in. So they have water slide parks there, too, where you swim through the tunnel and you can see the sharks above you and the manta rays and the fish. and you can go through tunnels in the different parts of the property and like see the fish swimming all around you and above you too. The property is beautiful. And my famous water bottle comes from there. So I have an Atlantis blue water bottle. And when you go to the property, they give you water bottles so that you can refill your water. And then they have water stations so that you're drinking healthy water while you're there, which is great. I love it. But I've had my water bottle. It's been like kind of my like go-to. Every time you see, if you know me in real life, I show my travels across the world and stuff. And so my water bottle would be in the pictures and I'd have my Atlantis water bottle in there. And I lost it like a week right before I went back out to Atlantis. So, and when I arrived, they were completely out of water bottles. I was so sad. They were like out of water bottles. And so every day I'm like, did you guys get them back in stock? I really want my water bottle. But now I have my infamous blue Atlantis water bottle on the rest of my journey too. So it's been fun, but there's like, it's so much fun. Like if that's the great thing about, you know, seeing different parts of the world and exploring different things is you see things from a different perspective and it adds value to your life. And it, you know, it's like joyful. And that's why, like what we build all these AI bots and these different resources so that people can do whatever they want to do anywhere in the world. And then we've also been testing out our bots. You know, that's like the number one thing. Yeah. And getting content. The number one thing is like, you're going to see some of our new promos coming out soon where we're showing Dragon like all across the world. And then also using the Flyit bot. So I got, again, first class. I booked last minute though. I got first class for like 100 or 200 on the trip to the Bahamas and then was back in Florida. And then I went to Aruba the last 2 weeks and I got again first class for like 100, 200 because I used my Flyit AI bot that the Alga has been built out since 2016. That was the first time I ever went to Europe, was in 2016. And that's when I built out the AI bots. And I built out the algo actually for the AI bot for Flyit back then. And the thing to think about it is like, we're so like dependent now on our apps and the Wi-Fi and everything else, but it gives us the freedom to do anything that we want to do anywhere in the whole entire world. Like I made it my mission when I was traveling, like the first couple of times when I went internationally, I like did this little challenge where as long as I could travel and use my apps and figure out how to maneuver the world, then I was good to go. Like if I couldn't use my apps, then I would kind of be stuck, right? You end up being dependent on everything else. But if you have Wi-Fi and you have the internet and you have apps and you have AI, and you have all these things in your life that add value to your life, it gives you the freedom to do whatever you want to do and puts you in a whole nother level that you couldn't have done before.
Exactly. Right? Like AI transformed our lives both in work and in personal life. Like even planning out weeks using AI, it can make schedules. It makes my schedule sometimes. AI can pick what you eat for dinner. AI knows every place around you. It knows the locations. It can tell you, oh, this place has the best pasta, has the best reviews. Sorry, the Italian kick. I'm sorry. And then you could go, and then you could say, oh, I want to travel. There's bots for that. I want to shop online. There's bots for that. Find you best deals. There's bots for everything now. If you've thought of it, there's probably already a bot out there, and AI makes everything so much easier for everybody around the world. Like you could even the simplest thing that you could think of, probably even like the grocery store managing when they manage their resources in the grocery store, they probably use AI to do that. Oh, this is a hot product right now. This is a hot product, and they probably everyone's using it. Everybody's using it. We've seen the growth in all these other online businesses with chatbots now too. And we talked about it every episode. We brought it up. What was it last year, Elizabeth? That
I know, like, think about it. Okay. So think about it. When we were talking about, we started the show last February. So we've been on the air for like 17, 18 months now.
Oh, it's been that long?
So, but think about it. Like when we first came on, we were talking about investing in financial markets and crypto and AI, but nobody was using AI back then. Like nobody, it was kind of like foreign to everybody. When you talked about AI back then, everybody was like, oh, the robots are going to take over the world. And, you know, like they we only knew. That. Yeah, that was a lot of people saying that. Like that was the beginning when we were talking about it on the air, but I've been utilizing and working with AI probably since 2019, I'd say, because it was pre-COVID. But that all goes since like 2016. And then I incorporated with AI, which basically takes all of your data or your algos or your APIs or whatever you're utilizing and then exponentially puts it on steroids, right? So, so it makes it, it grows on itself, it builds on itself, it learns on itself, and then it evolves and it makes it better, cleaner, smarter, faster. And then you can input based off of that information, input more data, and then improve on that data even at a higher exponential rate on top of that. And so we started talking about it last year on the show, and we were trying to introduce people to it so they could understand. And the potential, and we were saying back then too, is like all these businesses are going to start creating utilizing AI. And if you're just learning about it, you know, just take the small things and start adding it to your business, add a chat bot or add different parts of AI to your business model, put it on your website, add it to whatever you're doing. But it's kind of snowballed since then. And now people are creating whole businesses out of it. So think of the different technology eras that we went through, right? So, but like back in... the Stone Age. No, I'm just kidding. Think of every technology era that it goes through, right? The Industrial Age. And then, so then they like... when websites first came out, when the internet first came out, all the businesses that were built that were brick and mortar businesses became web-based businesses. So they had that opportunity to reach internationally where before they were stuck to whoever was in their local area and could drive to their local area and whoever they could reach through that resource, right? And then when Wi-Fi came out and the internet came out, they had a bigger market share because now they could reach out to people internationally that they had no contact with before. And then with cell phone apps, it added another level of it where now people could create businesses off of apps. So before, you know, it goes from brick and mortar and then it goes to web and then it goes to cell phone apps. And then AI technology comes out and it brings it out to a whole nother level. So all those different businesses that started out as brick and mortar, all those businesses that evolved to web, all those businesses that evolved to apps are now evolving to an AI-based business. And so it's exponentially growing that type of resource that they had and making it more useful to more people and helping more people out. And it's happening faster, more advanced. And it's giving more creativity and more ideas and expanding their resources and making it a bigger and better business. And now everybody's creating businesses because they're able to utilize AI even at like the low level tech and create something off of it. And then the businesses that are more advanced are using it too so that they can expand their business model and then reach out to more people and evolve from there. But everything's being creative. So like, say there's a child who's like 12 years old, a kid who's 12 years old, and like he does his normal, like, you know, his neighborhood business. Now he can utilize AI and then build a business off of it. If somebody's just getting out of college and they want to create a new business, they can utilize AI and come up with ideas and then create a whole nother business. So there's like so many opportunities. And we were talking about this is how the world's going to go. It's going to expand and grow because there's so many possibilities and so many resources and different ways that you can build out businesses with this. And we're witnessing it now. Like everywhere you look, there's like from simplicity chatbots to somebody. What were some of the businesses that we had looked at Oh. And they're getting funding. Like, it's like crazy things.
we've seen things like cancer research. We've seen
things, which is great.
It's amazing. They're helping out.
Right. And then, but there's even like ones that you would never even think of that have become an AI business.
Like I think one of them was like something to do with cars, like charging your car using an AI. Like, you know how the electric cars now have the adapter that you plug in,
right?
It judges and it pushes through how much electricity it needs to get it charged in a certain time. There's AI for everything.
Right.
Any little task that you have to do manually, there's an AI to make it 100 times easier for you.
Yeah. So it's fun. It's exciting. The world's changing and we have the freedom to do it from anywhere in the world. We're not, because we have that capacity and we have Wi-Fi and internet and AI and Telegram and WhatsApp and all these other resources, we don't have to be stuck in one location anymore, which is great, but it also helps other people do what they want to do and find their passion and pursue their passion. So like I think we're up to 300 different AI.
Maybe
we've
more.
Been calling them bots, but they're all different types of business models basically. So I have some of my major ones are the crypto trading bots that have been built out for over 3 years that they scan. They have, so our AI trading bots, basically, they're on Telegram. They've been built out for over 3 years. So it's AI signal and AI base. They're one of the first predictive model AI bots in crypto 3 years ago. And it's called AI Signal, so a lot of people have copied the name and said that they have quote-unquote AI signals, but we were the first one that had AI signals 3 years ago. So now that we have 3 years of data, we have over 400 million points of data. It scans 25 to 50,000 tokens a day and narrows it down to 100 to 200 with the predictive modeling based off of 85 different indicators and variables. So we've utilized the data from 36.5 million tokens.
That's a lot of tokens.
And then when it checks off the boxes, it screens it down. So can you imagine one person or even 10 people trying to watch 50,000 tokens and then screening it down and then pick which ones they think is going to be the best token?
I don't think I could ever.
Right. So that's the best thing about it. It's taking the input and then utilizing AI and then screening it down and finding the best output. And then because of that, we have 3 years of data on what it found too.
And if you put that in perspective, like we struggled, and I think we talked about it last episode, we struggled.
I think everybody, right.
Watching
more than three charts at a time. Because
even
that's
two
what
sometimes.
That's what most people do. When most people are trading, they can only trade one resource. So if you're trading a stock, the stocks don't have high volatility. They don't move up and down. They don't trade really fast. So when you're watching microcaps,
you got it. There we go.
I said that right. So microcaps are basically, they're like an IPO. They're an IPO and a token. And so if you think about Doge, Shiba, Pepe, Mog, even Litecoin, Ethereum, Bitcoin, they all started from the very beginning, right? So when I found out about ETH, I heard about it when it was 100. When I heard about Bitcoin, I was like looking back at some of my screenshots that I took of Bitcoin. And one of them was, 6 years ago? It was at 10,000. I think it was at 10,000. Was it 6 years ago? 2019. I have some of my screenshots. So Pepe was like one of the first release. And then I have some of my screenshots. And I found it even earlier than that. But think about it. So what microcaps are is they're brand new tokens going into the market. It's like an IPO. It's like a brand new business. So if Tesla just came and nobody knew about Tesla and it was launching, or if SpaceX was a brand new token and nobody knew about it, brand new business, and it was just launching, that's what these tokens are. This is what microcaps are. They're brand new businesses. And so either it's going to be just a using as like a currency where it's just solely the token. There's nothing attached to it. Either it has a meme on it or a funny name, or it's representing something else and it's just the token. So there's no value, like there's no utility, there's no asset attached to it. It's just the token. So those are ones that like people trade. Like Mog is for fun, Pepe is for fun. They're just meme coins that are traded. Like Doge and Shiba are meme coins also that were traded, and then they ended up sticking and everyone bought into it, and then the value went up, and that, and because a lot of people started trading on it. So these new tokens that come out are microcaps. They're brand new. They're just launching. They have like a market cap of $6,000, right? So they're starting out really low. And if you go from $6,000 to a billion, you're going to get a high return because it's like buying a brand new business. And 25,000 to 50,000 launch a day now, where before it was about 2,500. And so when we started, the tokens were close to about 2,500 launching a day. We're screening it down, but now we're taking all the data from all of it and finding what is like kind on the tokens that were successful. And if you check off the boxes, like if you go to buy a business and you say, if I'm going to buy a normal business out in the real world, I want to make sure that, you know, they have, if it's a restaurant, that they have a great chef and a great staff and they have good kitchen equipment and great quality cuts of meat and a beautiful menu, a full bar. So you want like all these certain check marks that you're going to do when you buy a business, a great location. That's very important. So something next to the coast and like if it had an ocean view with a patio, then that would be a valuable asset. So you check off the boxes on the things that you think would make a successful business. And then you would buy the business based off of that. Well, it's the same thing with the token. There's certain check marks that have to be checked off. And if those are, then it has a high probability that it's going to be a successful token. And if those things are missing, then it has a low rate that it probably won't succeed, right? It's low rated, so it won't succeed. Yeah. But if it has all these check boxes, like a brand new business, and you have all the things that fall in place, and when you have 400 million points of data, you can compare across and find out the ones that have those check boxes. And then see the data, like if 80 of those hit, then the token went to 10 million or 200 million and it lasted, then you know. If only 3 of them hit and then the token failed, then you know that that was one of the reasons why. So if you're able, with AI, if you're able to scour all of the data and then compare the data with AI and find out within milliseconds and then screen down those 50,000 tokens come a day, and if they hit all those check boxes, it notifies us, and then we get to see the token. And some of them fail because you may have the most beautiful business in the whole entire world, right next to the ocean, a beautiful patio, but there's just nobody around to come in and eat dinner. So it will fail. So every now and then, that's what happens with tokens. If there's no volume and everybody's inside that day and it's pouring rain, then nobody's going to come out for dinner. Maybe one or two people will. That's like volume in a token. So if it's a thriving market and everybody's out and they're along the boardwalk and everybody wants to eat dinner and they're happy and there's families and there's couples and there's people going out to dinner, then it's going to thrive, right? So that's volume in a token market. If there's a lot of people trading, there's a lot of people investing, you have volume and it's going to thrive. But it could be the most perfect restaurant in the whole entire world, but it's pouring rain and everybody's staying inside and it's midnight, there's no volume, nobody's going to come in and eat dinner. So it's the same thing. And people don't understand that volume is one of the most important things in investing. If
it volume is, arguably
volume means that people are buying. So if nobody's buying dinner, the restaurant's not going to thrive. If everybody's hungry and there's a line out the door, like In-N-Out in California, and there's a line out the door down the street and everybody wants it, that's volume, and then it's going to survive and it's going to thrive. So remember, that's what,
a good example of that is like when Crumble, like that Crumble cookie craze, remember that?
I have a good story about Crumble Cookie today too. Okay, go ahead.
There was a new location that opened up near me, And it was the first one in all of the GTA, the Greater Toronto Area. And the line was, I think people said they were lining up for 2 days outside to get a cookie. To get a cookie, because everyone's seen it on the US, in the US. But you had to line up for 2 days to get a cookie. And they're thriving now. Their cookie sales are through the roof. They're able to open up new locations. That's a great example of high volume and their low supply, because they can't make that many cookies to serve everybody for an entire day. I'm sure they close after they've sold out with all their resources. So there's a high supply, low supply, high demand, and everybody
volume. That's volume.
Lots
right.
of volume.
So I have a good. I'm glad you brought up that crumble cookie. So I've been following an artist. He's really good. And he started out on, what is that? The singing show. Oh my goodness. We was working so much. I can't even think of like the basic things anymore. My mind is like all numbers and data and analytics and mathematical formulas. And I can't think of like simple things anymore. American Idol. So
okay,
he was on American Idol, and then he quit and then went on his own route, and he just started singing like a couple years ago. So there's a lot of people that just started new things, right? So they took that leap of faith, like Phoenix. He just learned how to sail 9 months ago and then sailed across from Oregon to Hawaii. So this is Benson Boone. He just started singing like a couple years ago, went out to try out for American Idol, just started singing, just learned how to sing like randomly. And I think he was like a wrestler or something before.
Oh, my.
But he can do like back tucks and aerials and gymnastics because I think he was a wrestler. And so he just learned how to sing, just like out of the whim, just decided to try out for American Idol, was good. And then decided to quit American Idol and go out on his own and is just like killing it right now. And he just released a song, Moonbeam Ice Cream. And so they've been doing a promo all over the place, and they created a crumble cookie for it. And what? It just came out today. Like his album just came out yesterday or today. And they did a crumble cookie. And so like all these people are posting about their Moonbeam Ice Cream, which is a made up name, but it's a song. And he has a crumble cookie out there. So like it's helping crumble. It's helping him. It's promoting the record that just came out, and everybody's excited, you know? And now
I didn't even know that.
But now we're all talking about food again, and you're all going to want like Italian food and crumble cookies, and go listen to his songs. His songs are really fun, but he's like another example of somebody who took a different path and didn't know that that was their passion, and then tried it out and is really good at it and is like touring all over the world right now. And everyone's listening to his music, and, you know, and he just started singing probably a couple of years ago. I don't even think he's that old. He's about 21, 22 started singing when he was like 18 and went and tried out for American Idol, quit American Idol and went out on his own. And now he's touring all over the world. So, and the crumble cookie thing, but like, it's the people that like decide to make that decision and try something outside of their normal box, step outside of their box and try something that they're passionate about or didn't know that they were passionate about, and then do it. And on the other side of fear is where they found their best results and became the best version of themselves on something that they love to do. So like, he's another example of it. Phoenix, the one that we were talking about back in May, like the beginning of May, who was from Oregon and decided to quit his job because he had a medical condition, didn't want to like just live 9 to 5, wasn't happy, had a passion to sail across around the world, never sailed before, bought a boat, sold off all his stuff, bought a boat, learned to sail in 9 months on like rivers and stuff. And then decided to take a voyage from Oregon to Hawaii in less than 30 days and did it.
And right? No, like, that's a big leap. That's a big right? leap.
And he had a lot of storms, too. It wasn't all smooth sailing. He had, like, he probably didn't expect it to be that rough, but he had some rough storms that he came into, but he made it. Right. And he went from like, when we first found him, I think he was at like 200,000 followers, because I found him late. It was like his day, right the day before he was going to go to sell. And then we talked about it on LA Talk. And then he sold, and he has over 2 million followers now because people were inspired by him. They saw what he did and how passionate he was, and he fulfilled his dreams. He stepped out of his comfort zone and just did it. And so it's not always like your end goal that is what you're reaching for, is who you become on the way and what challenges you face and what you encounter and how that makes you a better person and gives you more confidence because you've accomplished something that you're so scared of, but it was something that you're passionate about. And then on the other side of fear is where you find the most joy because of it. And that's just two examples just recently.
And so, more and more will keep popping up because more and more people are trying and stepping out of their comfort zone and taking that leap. And even if it's just like we said when we first started talking about Phoenix, dipping your toe into the pool, or just going out for a walk, or going to a different coffee shop, or making coffee at home. That's all that's needed to step out of your comfort zone. You don't need to make the big leap like traveling across the ocean or becoming a singer and selling out a cookie at Crumble Cookie. You don't need to do that.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I remember, so when I decided to go to Europe, I've never been to Europe before. And I was solo traveling and I was scared. I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't know what to expect. I don't know what it's going to be like. And I think my first trip, I went to 4 countries and I stayed for like 30 days. But my goal was like to see as many countries as I could, as fast as I could, because I wanted to experience it all. But I was scared on my very first trip. And now I've done over 35 countries. I did 28 right before COVID, from I think 2017 to 2019, I did 28 countries. So my goal, it was like, create as many apps, find a way to do it, master it. And then each one became a challenge. I would have like a separate challenge that I would do. But I had to step outside of my comfort zone because I, long time ago, was scared of flying too. And now I don't even know how many flights I've been on. But I had to figure out, like, I love to travel. I want to travel. How am I going to do this if I'm scared to fly, right? Yeah. I can't take a boat everywhere. I can't drive a car everywhere. So how am I going to do it? So I ended up taking ground school so I could understand the mechanics of a plane. So I would understand what happens when you go to fly. So I could kind of come over that fear. And then just by flying, now I'm comfortable with it because I've been on so many flights that you just know what to expect. You know when turbulence comes a certain way, what it means and like how it feels. And the greatest analogy that somebody told me that also calmed my fears is when you're flying and you experience turbulence, that you think of it as like if you take a hard-boiled egg and you stick it in Jell-O and you put it in a box. And so you have that cushion of the Jell-O around it and the hard-boiled eggs in the center. If you shake it a little bit, that's turbulence, but the egg is still okay.
Oh. So
somebody explained that to me. So now every time I experience turbulence and I get like a little sketched, I'm like, okay, I'm just in a big giant bowl of Jell-O right now and I'm okay. And then I calm down. But I've flown so many times, like I can feel it on the takeoff. I can feel when it catches the air. I can feel it like when we're coming in for a descent. And like, I also know, so this is funny because like, I know the pilots have to make their time. Like if they beat their time, like, so they have allocated, say they have 4 hours and 5 minutes to make their time from takeoff to landing. Right.
Yeah.
And if they have to like go off a little bit of different path to avoid bad weather, it'll take them off their path and it'll add a little bit more time. But when they're coming in to land, they'll kind of speed up a little bit so they can make their time and then they slow down right on the descent, which is kind of funny. So if you travel a lot, you'll see that happen. So they want to make sure that they get you in on a timely manner because I think like their bonuses and their salaries tied to it, but they also want to make sure you're safe. So I've noticed that a couple of flights. Uh-huh.
That's the thing. I never knew that they would take different routes and get you there faster. I also didn't even know they were in timeline.
They take different routes to avoid bad weather, but they're always on the same route. And when an airplane's flying, it doesn't necessarily always fly straight. it'll get, you know, because of wind and different things, it'll get taken off path a little bit, but then it always readjusts and goes back to the path. So that slows down the time. Also, if there's a headwind, so it slows down the plane a little bit, so the time is different. If there's a tailwind, it's actually faster on the time. So we're talking on another tangent again, but but that was like one of my biggest fears, right? It was like flying was one of my biggest fears, but travel was like something that I wanted to do. And I wanted to prove that I could be anywhere in the world, do anything that I wanted to do, find a way to do it, find a way to master it. And then on the other side of my passion, that was what I wanted to do. Like on the other side of my fear was my passion. And so now I'm at 35 countries. And so the first 2 weeks this summer, I was in the Bahamas working nonstop. I'm on the East Coast time, waking up at 4 a.m. What is wrong with me? But it's great because I'm excited and passionate on what I do. So when I wake up, I'm excited to get up because I'm like, okay, another day, more stuff we get to do, more things that we get to plan, like more tech that we get to build out, like things like, oh, here's another idea we can add onto the tech. Here's another thing we can do. So like, I'm excited to wake up that I'm waking up at 4 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Crazy. But I am. And then like I was going to bed still at like 12 or 1 and only getting 3 to 4 hours of sleep, and it did take a toll on me. So like I'm working and trying to be consistent, and then I'll take my break at like 2 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon after 10 or 12 hours of working. I'll take like a break, go see the beach and appreciate where I'm at so I can have my dopamine and my downtime and relax a little bit and take my mind and cool off, and then take a tiny nap and like regain my energy again and then go back again. But so I was 2 weeks in Bahamas first, and then 2 weeks in Aruba was the last place I was just at. I didn't say where I was because I didn't want anybody to know where I am until after I'm gone. but I was in Aruba, and I was supposed to give a shout out 2 weeks ago to one of the places I stayed. Oh my goodness. Okay. I think her name is Jennifer. I hope I didn't get her name wrong. So I want to say hi. They're at the Amsterdam in Aruba, and it's a beautiful property. It's like beachfront. And whenever I go there, I love going to that location. It's so beautiful. It's like one of my favorite places to go to, and they treat you so well. And she like let me do a late checkout. I think I even had a show from there too, but you guys didn't know I was there. So we had a show there. Actually, I went and did a show there twice. I'm losing my voice because I was in another location by last year in Aruba, and I didn't have good Wi-Fi, and so we couldn't do the show. So I went and stayed at Amsterdam, and they had wonderful Wi-Fi. The people are so, like, they're wonderful. Helpful. I don't know how to, like, explain that, because they always say, like, Aruba is, like, the friendliest island, which it is now. It's, like, the happy island. I love Aruba. It's one of my favorite islands, and it was like waterfront. The people are like so wonderful. They took care of me, gave me a late checkout, helped me with my Wi-Fi. And then the groceries like down the street, it has a full kitchen, full bedroom, ocean view on the property, ocean front, pool, everything. So hi, Jennifer. It was Amsterdam in Aruba. So if y'all go to Aruba, go there and say hi to Jennifer, but it was wonderful. And then I stayed at another location that was beautiful too. It was another one of my favorite ones. So I like Eagle Beach. That's like my favorite location. But I did have a bad experience, not with any of those properties, but with another property. And unfortunately, I tried to ask them to help me resolve it. And I asked through different channels, through concierge, through management, through the front desk, and nobody wanted to help me out. I had a terrible experience with Marriott Aruba. So, I try to work it out. I'm always very nice to everybody. I try to understand and be empathetic for everything, but I just had like one bad experience over another bad experience over another bad experience, another bad experience, like the whole time I stayed there. The only good time I really had is like, there was a wonderful lady who's always keeping the property clean and making sure that the floors were dry. And she was like amazing. Like she was so sweet and so nice to everybody and always smiling and always happy. So she was wonderful. And then there was a gentleman who was like off duty and trying to help everybody out, even though he was not working at that time. and he was wonderful. But the rest of the time, I just like, and I never, ever, ever talk bad about anybody. Like, it has to be pretty,
pretty bad
before I talk bad about anybody. Cause like, I'm a very optimistic person. I'm very empathetic. I understand that people work hard and they're trying so hard and all that stuff, but it's just, they did not try and they seem to not really care. And so it didn't give me a great experience. And I've been all over the place. I've been to like so many different locations, and I understand, you know, like maybe it's one bad day, or maybe, you know, they were rushed, or maybe they weren't treated well. But I try to be empathetic, but they just did not want to help. So anyway, on to the next. But I'm not there anymore, so I probably won't go back there. I don't know. It left me a bad taste on the properties after that. But anyway, we have some, let's talk about some optimistic things. Ooh. So the Flybot on the travel bot for flying found Europe on sale right now. So if you all want to go to Europe, Europe is on sale. It found Low Air. It's 119 right now, I think, from LA to, what did I find it? LA to...
to Italy.
Italy to, and to LA Greece. To Greece. It's 119. That's the base fare. But it found it, and it's for the next 3 to 4 months. It's priced out that way. So you don't have to book it right now. You don't have to book it, you know, like, you don't have to book it to fly right now. You can book it for the next 4 months. So, like, you... the best time to always go into Europe, I think personally, I like going in spring and fall because it's the beginning of the season and end of the season. And so it's not as crowded and you can get more affordable hotels, like better upgrades in hotels because it's not as crowded. And the air is like only $120 for the base fare. So like if you want the upgraded fare, then you just pay more. But it's like $120 to go to Europe.
That's
and they're
so
doing
cheap.
And then the thing is, they're doing direct flights now, which is crazy. So it's like a 12-hour flight. But that's crazy because I'm used to, like, I'll go in usually and fly into London. And from London, I'll go into Greece. Or from London, I'll go into Italy or something. Or I'll go into Spain and then go into Italy. So it's, like, broken up a little bit. And usually I like direct flights. But 12 to 14 hours might be a little bit long. But I've never...
a little bit.
I did do a long flight on my flight to Australia. So that was a long flight, but I don't think I've done 14 hours yet.
I can even sit in a car for that long.
So if you all want to travel to Europe, go find that right now. The Flybot found it, and, I would give out the airlines, but if you go onto our Flybot, so it's like flyit.ai, you can try out the bot. We have free trials too. You can try it out and you can find those flights to Europe. Like I talked about the ones that were Hawaii. It was like $100 Hawaii before. There's flights that go from like Hawaii to Sydney for $100 too. And so the Flybot scans like all the airlines, all the destinations, all the locations, and then finds up to 13 months out. And it changes by the minute, by the hour, by the day. And today is Tuesday. So on Tuesdays, it's always the lowest price, right? On travel. Yeah. Tuesday is always the best day. And so I found those today. They actually called a Tuesday special on these Flybot on the location for the flying to Europe. And it's from 120 to 169. You can fly out of LA, Miami, I think Chicago. I think even somewhere in Canada out to Europe for like 120 to 160. It's a base flight price. That's one way. But you can book that. You can book it up to 4 months out. So if y'all want to travel Europe, that's the deal right going on right now. And then when we say, we had some fun stuff going this week. We had some promos. We're not going to say who it went to. We had some surprise promos go out this week in a dragon costume with our Coke bottles and Mentos. So if y'all listened last week to the episode about the Coke bottles and what a Coke bottle does when you shake it up, you put a Mentos in, the Coke bottle explodes. That's what crypto does when it range trades sideways. You put a Mentos in, it breaks out, and then the token breaks out. So we had a few promos go out to some special office locations. about Dragon, and we used our Coke Mentos bottle, which was basically our episode last week. So if you listened to the episode last week, you know about our Coke bottle. Yeah, and so the gentleman like came in a dragon costume. He's riding the dragon costume, delivered it to the offices with a Coke and a Mentos bottle and some information about Dragon, and it went to some key people out this week, and we have some more going out this week too, in Northern Cal. These were in LA. But that's happening. We have some amazing AI videos.
Oh my God.
With Dragon and our advertising coming out right now. Our marketing is coming out on AI with our Dragon, and we're going to release those soon too. Those are amazing. We also have our traveling around the world using Dragon anywhere on the beach, in the Caribbean, all over the world, from your phone, trading from your phone anywhere in the world. We have those coming out also, so you'll see that soon. We've done a sneak peek on a couple of those already. And what else? We have like some other fun stuff that's going on.
Oh.
We are having Dragon signups going live. That'll be coming out. We have it ready to go. I just haven't announced it or given out the links yet. So you'll start seeing it. If you see the links for Dragon, you can sign up, get the first month free on the base level for the subscription and try out Dragon. You'll be able to sign that up really soon. You can sign up with a social, with email, with X, or with Google. And so you can get into Dragon. You don't have to know how to trade crypto. You don't have to know how to do wallets. You don't have to do all the complicated steps. All you have to do is log in with your socials. And then when we go live, start trading. And there'll be explainers. It's really, really easy. It's one click, start trading, turn it on, turn it off, trade. It's like playing a game. It's so much fun. All our systems and strategy are built in the back end. All the algos are built in the back end. So you don't have to be a master trader. But if you are, it has all the advanced information, all the advanced analytics. That is happening. The SEC just announced today that banks can now do crypto activities. There we go.
Yes.
Last week, we talked about ETH. We said ETH, after the Fed meets, it usually takes about 7 days to rally unless some type of weird news comes out or something emotional. And guess what? Something emotional came out Saturday. ETH dropped out. But guess what? It bounced back again. So ETH is back at hovering at 2450. We're ready for our next push. If we break through 2550, do your own research, not financial advice. But if we break through 2550, that's our next range and our next push up. If we have good news, that's our next push up. If something random comes out again that's emotional, y'all can see what happens to the markets and then they bounce back. So if something emotional comes out, that can affect the market. Again, do your own research, not financial advice. But we are right now at 2460. We hit 2483 today. If we push past 2550 on ETH, that's our next push out. It has to push out through it. And then what else? We have the AI marketing campaign coming out. Dragons are everywhere. There's dragons everywhere now. We started talking about dragons last December. Oh, no, actually October. And then everyone started talking about dragons. Joe Rogan started talking about dragons. People started talking about dragons. There's dragons everywhere. We started out last October with our branding. And now there's dragons everywhere. You're going to see more dragons everywhere because dragons.
If you don't hear it enough, we're going to make sure you do. Dragon.
Dragons are everywhere. Dragons, AI, and oh my gosh. Microcaps.
Yes, and microcaps.
So why chase a unicorn when you can ride a dragon?
Yes. Everyone, so we want you to ride the dragon with us.
Ride the dragon. So why chase a unicorn when you can ride a dragon? Again, do your own research, not financial advice. Hear about our travel adventures, AI, investing. Have fun. Push past your boundaries. Step out of your comfort zone. On your other side of fear is your most exciting passion. Have the freedom to do whatever you want. Have an amazing week, and we will talk to y'all next Tuesday.
Yes. Bye, everyone. Talk next Tuesday.
Bye.
You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.